Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. This evening, we are talking about Ozark. Ozark, which sounds like a planet on the outer regions of the galaxy, but it isn't. It's a series starring and very much backed by Jason Bateman. Joining us to talk about this, as usual, is my compadre Jamie and my new compadre regularly here, although we like him a lot less. It's Matthew Wandless from London.
Hello.
Hello. How are we? Great. Let's crack on. So, Ozark, how much have you watched, Jamie?
All.
All of it. Matthew?
One.
One episode. If you've never listened to the podcast before, the aim is to take Matthew's ignorant first episode opinions, which will probably be shared with you if you watch one episode, and persuade you of the reasons to perhaps continue or not continue with that box set. So no spoilers beyond episode one, and that's the name of the game. So who wants to set up? Let's ask Matthew to set up the situation as we begin the world of Ozark.
Okay, so... What I've seen so far is Jason Bateman plays Marty Bird, hotshot, well, no, maybe not outwardly hotshot financial advisor, who is running an independent financial advisor's business with his partner, Bruce.
Yeah,
Bruce Liddell.
Bruce. Yeah.
And he seems very kind of downbeat, very like sort of low-key guy. Starts off with him interviewing prospective clients. And then while he's in the interview, he opens up this kind of weird amateur porn, which he starts watching while he's talking to his clients. And so he seems like a guy who's kind of down on his luck and a bit kind of depressed. And then it quickly becomes revealed that he and his partner are the number one money launderers in Chicago for the, I guess it's Bolivian drug cartel.
Mexican.
Mexican, sorry, it is Mexican, isn't it? Yeah.
Let's not give anything else away, but something terrifying happens.
Oh, you don't want to talk about the first episode?
I just wonder how much of it we should give away, or whether we should just refer to the incident as something terrifying happens, and then he decides to what?
So basically the business has to move out of Chicago down to Missouri, to Lake Ozark, which is like it looks sort of like the Everglades, like a massive expanse of water and forest, but a bit nicer than the Everglades. And him and his family have to uproot, and that's where the series takes off when they arrive at Lake Ozark.
He's going to set up some kind of money laundering operation down in Ozark, which has more coastline than California, they keep telling us. So,
have you looked up Lake Ozark on a map?
Yeah. Of course.
Didn't we all, just to check?
It looks like some kind of madcap Chinese dragon.
Yeah.
Like from the tapestry.
Had anyone actually heard of Ozark before?
No, but I imagine the tourism season off the back of this Netflix series is going to be huge for them. Because I
don't think it's I wouldn't say it was a great advertisement for
it's fictional, Jamie. It's fictional. I would love to go and just chill out on a boat on that lake for a few days. It'd be great.
But the shot, I've only seen very little of it, but the shot at the end of the first episode makes me go, wow, I've never heard of this place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially since I've heard of the Everglades and I've been there and I was like, this is kind of crap. It's swampy. Full of crocodiles.
It is quite swampy and full of crocodiles at the Everglades. You do not get that in your good quality Ozark. But then Matt is racist towards anyone further south than the norm. And in this case, the Everglades.
That's completely opposite to what I am. I'm actually completely against the north, which is why I have disdain for the two of you.
That's true. So what did you think, Matt? I mean, is this podcast over at the start because you're just enjoying it and you're going to move on, or what?
I can't lie. I mean, yeah. I thought it was taut and well constructed. I quite like Jason Bateman. I think he's good in everything I've seen him. He's sort of he's one of those guys. He's like a this is going to go right over your head, but it's like a James Milner. He's like you know, you're always guaranteed a seven, Jason Bateman.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'm not such a fan of Laura Linney, actually. But
she's brilliant.
Perfect for this role, I think.
She's one of those people, her face just bothers me.
Well, she's always got a smile. She's got a perma smile. And you,
she's like chastic. I just don't like looking at her.
As you
not, not in an affectionate kind of way, but just like your face bothers me.
By the way, James Milner is an England midfielder, by the way, just for anyone who doesn't know the reference.
Good Googling, Howell.
As well as I do.
Exciting player, but a viable one.
Yeah, yeah.
Has a great Twitter account.
All right, that's enough. Jamie, what, pray tell, obviously you does like it,
well,
it as well.
First of all, it doesn't surprise me that Matt immediately likes it, because I think it's one of the best pilots you could ever have for a show. It's for a thriller anyway, in a drama. It's very, very immediately compelling, and even if you're not quite sure if you like it of the first episode, you know you damn well want to watch another one. And I think that bringing in the two main performers, Bateman and Linney, I think Laura Linney's a brilliant actress. I've seen her in lots of stuff, Primal Fear and The Truman Show, which she's brilliant in The Truman Show
again, perfect because of her perma smile.
But she's a great, just a generally great actress. She's just superb. And I think Bateman, like, is it, we were at someone's house recently, they were talking about Jason Bateman. You could take his performance from this show and put it in Arrested Development and it wouldn't change it's not that different a performance that he's...
No, I know what you're saying. The incidents would be very different, but...
The incidents would be different, but his behaviour, it wouldn't change that much.
Well,
I'm not saying that's a bad...
In both roles demand him to be the understated centre of things, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. He's very, very good at it. He's very good at that role. And I'm not saying it is a weakness either. I think he's great.
Sounded like it was.
Not at all. I think it's exactly what you want.
Why do you hate
it? I love Arrested Development, and I love his performance. And I love what he's doing in this show. Like, he's such a quick thinker, and that's what he does in Arrested Development, his character. Not always to a successful end, but his character in this show is an incredibly quick thinker in very stressful and difficult situations. It's got that kind of almost Breaking Bad sensibility in that you've got to kind of get yourself out of extremely tight corners very quickly.
Interesting that you should say that, because I had just finished rewatching Breaking Bad when we started this, and I couldn't believe the parallels in the first episode. There's like a family man doing bad things in order to justifying them for the good of his family, I suppose. And it did make me think.
There ends the list of parallels.
Drugs, money.
Yeah, drugs and money. That's the end of it.
Okay.
Does he have cancer? No.
If there's no cancer involved.
Is he a desperate man who's kind of done it, like he's just getting into it? No. Shut is he working with a kind of...
bearded face. I feel like this would have been a difficult pitch to get beyond studio execs, because it had, on a studio exec level, some similarities with Breaking Bad.
You know what? I think the same thing's probably true of Narcos. You know, they would have started off, they said it's about drugs and money, and they would have said Breaking Bad.
Yes, but the difference is that this is about family. This is about family unit, whereas Narcos isn't. So that's the kind of... I think that is the centre point for all of this, which those things...
I'm just You're just trying to start a pylon.
Well, that's fine. All of my issues with my slight issues of late when I've been discussing the ability of stars to be able to have a blank check written for them and just create something, for example, the Nicole Kidman Monterey one, you know,
Dirty Little, no,
like Big Little Lies,
something like
Big Little Lies.
My issue with that and stuff, and I still loved it, and I love all of those things, but whatever issues I had around those things, this one, I don't have those issues. I go, you know, if Jason Bateman has been understated in lots of things, I don't think the characters have been very deep at all in any of those things, so his understatement kind of matches the depth of what's been written, whereas in this I feel like his understatement is perfectly matched, and it's almost like Jason Bateman has come out of this cocoon that he's been preparing for ages and really backed a winner with this one. And really, you know, his directing is brilliant.
He's directed, he directs a few episodes, isn't he? About four of them. And they're actually like, when I realised it was him, I was like, because I was thinking this is a really well crafted episode, some of them.
Yeah, and not ostracisingly so. You weren't kind of going, ooh, the director's been a ponce. It was more like, oh, this is just a beautiful shot. You know, he just found gorgeous shots and things, like in that first episode. So it really feels like him and Laura Linney, with both of them, it just feels like all the roles, if you were to reverse their career, it was almost like all of the roles that they've played before could have followed these roles, you know? Someone could have watched this and gone, oh, she'd be good for Truman Show, or he'd be good for Arrested Development. Instead, it's like this is the pinnacle of their talents, and it'd be putting them to really great use. So however they found it, they really did find the perfect fit.
I think what's interesting is, like, I don't know what your opinion of Laura Linney's character is over the first episode, Matt, but I definitely feel like the first episode sets up her character as being someone you really do not like. Mm-hmm. Did you find that, Matt, after the first episode?
Yes and no, but you know how I feel about that. I think the character makes sense. And when I say I'm not a fan of Laura Linney, that's not based on this. This is just like, I've never particularly enjoyed her. And when I see her in something, it's like,
She's
but,
happy.
But no, she, you know, everything's good so far.
Yeah. But there is an arc. Jamie's talking about quite an arc that goes
it's
on.
In terms of your fun to watch
opinion. Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. No, she's of course I don't agree with the things that her character does. Like I wouldn't be happy if she did them to me. Yeah. But as we talked about last time, that doesn't affect how I think of the show. It's not like I go, oh, I don't like this show because I don't like her.
Yeah, it's almost like at the end of, if we were to continue the Breaking Bad analogy, if at the end of Breaking Bad, Skyler was having an affair, that'd be absolutely fine. You're like, yeah, it's understandable. He's not an all-out villain, but what he's doing is bad and morally questionable, and that's kind of the starting point of it all, which then jettisons us through watching, through our opinions of her changing, which is, I think, very interesting. Also,
well, maybe you're speaking from a position of more knowledge, but it doesn't feel like in the first episode what she's doing is done because of what he's doing.
No. Okay, I am speaking from it. Yes, okay, then I'll shut up. The other thing I was going to say was I've been really getting into recently, just going back and watching really good thrillers from the 90s, you know, sort of long Costner films and stuff, and even The Fugitive and things like that. I love these.
The Fugitive.
I love them
You watch No Way Out, Howell?
Who's in that?
Kevin Costner.
And
I think Gene Hackman's in it. That's a great thriller.
Possibly.
No Way Out.
That sounds Costner, amazing. It Hackman. Is Costner and Gene Hackman, yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
It's worth watching.
There's a good one, and there's one that he did with Robert Duvall, the cowboy one, the Western one that's on Netflix. Bloody long, but again, it's like, it is very rare now that we don't jump around in time a lot, that we don't have big explosions a lot, that we actually enjoy a good 2-hour kind of slow burning thriller. These things aren't made anymore because they don't think that the current generations can handle anything that is slow burn, you know. And Ozark, without being, you know, the Handmaid's Tale is the uber example of slow burn, and I won't get onto that again. But
better not.
But I think what Ozark, where Ozark sits, like you said at the beginning, Jamie or Matt, used the word thriller, and it sits really quite well in that world where, okay, it's not acres of exploration and long, but it's not all whooshes and bangs. It's kind of a really nice. I can't think of anyone who wouldn't enjoy watching this series.
No, it's very well balanced, actually. I agree with what you're saying. It just sort of paces itself really nicely, where you get to spend a little bit of time with people, but then something else happens. And I love the films, the kind of films you're talking about, Hal. They're the ones that make me they make me stay up too late at night.
Yeah.
Because they get put on, you know, Turner Classic Movies at 10:30. Love, and you're flicking that. Channels, and it's like, oh, Heat.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes.
I like two analogies that you've made. First of all, the James Milner analogy. This is the kind of show, like James Milner, very reliable. You could recommend this show to any. I know I could say to anyone, this is, give it a watch because you will like it. And I'm fairly sure I could recommend it to any human being that I know. And, you know, whatever the tastes are, I know they'll actually like this. It's a solid bet. It's like, you know, you could put a solid £10 on them liking this. Mm-hmm. Like James Milner's a reliable player, wherever you play him, left back or central midfield. Right. But also, back to the Breaking Bad analogy.
I agree with
Howell on the analogy about Breaking Bad as well, because I feel like it's a thriller, but it's also like there's a comic element to it as well. Like there is like a dark humour underlying it, and you see it more and more. And also with the violence in the show and the way the violence is used, it's like really, I think what I like about the way the violence is really unexpected, and when it does arrive, it's really shocking and messy, and it really, really grips you. And I like the way it handles kind of the violence and the sort of like slight comic element that it has a hint of.
When something funny happens, it's not only very funny, but it's really well delivered and still sits within that world, you know. It really is like, you just got to sort of credit Bateman with it. Again, it just looks like, oh, the insides of this quiet character that has been harbouring, that's done lots of jobs where you don't really notice him. This is why he's got all those jobs. He's a really smart guy, and this is those that sort of inner artistic thing being explored and being turned inside out. Nice.
It's brilliant. It's a good. I mean, obviously, like I said brilliant. I don't think this is a brilliant, like, amazing, up there with the great TV. Like, I don't think it's a great show, but I think it's a really good, enjoyable, gripping thriller. Doesn't have to be a great to still be enjoyable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it just does what it's supposed to, and it, like those 90s films, like The Fugitive or whatever, it kind of does what it's supposed to, and also it feels politely like it's set up for season 2 when you finish the end. It's kind of like, okay, yeah, we'll go with you on this. It doesn't feel heavy-handed or crowbarred in or unnecessary. It's nice. It's just good. It's just good, solid TV like they used to make.
Yeah, I think that's a full-on recommendation.
Yeah, I can't think of one that we've all 100%.
It's great, though. It's nice to actually, you know, we don't always have to find conflict, do we? We can just enjoy the fact that we all appreciate it.
It's nice to talk about why something's good.
Yeah.
I know someone who watched it who didn't know if they liked it but couldn't stop watching it. I think that's interesting as well. Like, it's kind of,
I get that.
It, because you sort of the story is actually interesting, so you don't necessarily, even if you're not completely enjoying it, you sort of can't stop from wanting to know where it goes. And
well,
I think
it's
part
the Trouble
of
in Paradise thing again, though, isn't it? And he's not a massively, he's not 100% likable character. I can see why people would find it difficult. The cinematography is very cold looking. Like, there are things about it that could make you go, ooh, is this where I want to spend my time?
It's very Michael Mann, actually, isn't it, in the way
it's
shot?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm. But worth an investment, y'all.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Do it.
How lovely.
I thought, even though I knew Matt was, I knew he's a bit of a banker this show, I did think Matt would find some issue, actually, so I'm surprised.
Well, you know, I've only watched the first episode.
Time. Back once he's picked holes in it. Yeah. Good, well, thank you very much. What are we discussing next week?
Has anyone else been watching any of the Defenders?
No.
Oh, yes, the Defenders, that's what we're doing next week.
Are we actually booked in for that?
Oh, we may or may not be. Okay. I apologise to box set fans for us missing last week. For me and Jamie being pathetic with our Game of Thrones latest season updates. Because one reason or another, the summer has kiboshed us. And I'm going away in a couple of weeks, which may also mean that there's a gap now. So we'll see what happens. But thank you for listening. Go back and listen to all the ones. And email us as ever, studio@theboxsetpod.com. You can always recommend things for us to watch. studio@theboxsetpod.com. When is a TV series going to be made with Kevin Costner in it? That's my question. I was waiting for one of you to tell me there already is one. Probably.
I was just going to check, actually.
Come on, Kevin. Come on, Kevin.
Come on. I'm sure he's done something. I mean, the guy... no, he hasn't. Oh, no. Ah, no, he did do a mini-series called Hatfield and McCoy.
It's
I
awful.
Did watch that.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. That's
yeah,
pretty
awful.
Bad.
Other than that one, Kevin needs to do a TV series.
Has anyone watched...
And that's all we've got time for.
Sorry.
Thanks very much. see you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.